This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Video game tournament turns deadly. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, August 27. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Police in Jacksonville, Florida, say a gunman opened fire on people attending a gaming event, killing two and injuring several more.
The late Senator John McCain will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol, something reserved for fewer than three dozen individuals.
The U.S. and Mexico could resolve their differences over NAFTA as early as today. There's been progress on issues like cars and energy.
And how to respond if your new title at work does not come with a pay raise.
Well, we're seeing a lot more employers handing out promotions, better titles, without any pay raises. And this poses some interesting challenges. Some workers are just fine with this, thank you very much, and put it on their LinkedIn profile. But it also raises issues for people who may not think it's fair to be doing a bigger job without getting more money for it.
Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger on the promotion without the coin. She's here in about 20 minutes. The shooting during a video game competition in Jacksonville, Florida has left two people dead and nearly a dozen wounded. In addition, investigators say the gunman took his own life. The gunfire broke out yesterday at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon at the popular Jacksonville Landing along the St. John's River.
Everybody was holding the door from each other and just saying, come on, let's get out of here. It was more of a helpful thing, not everybody trampling each other.
The gaming event was the Madden NFL Championship Series. Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry.
One violent crime in our city is one too many. Tonight, we pray for the wounded. And we pray for the families of those who are lost.
Those killed at the shooting were 27-year-old Taylor Robertson of Ballard, West Virginia, and 22-year-old Eli Clayton of Woodland Hills, California. The gunman was believed to be 24-year-old David Katz of Baltimore, who was there for the video game tournament, a qualifier for a larger event in Las Vegas. The incident is being investigated as a criminal act and not an act of terrorism. Late Arizona Senator John McCain will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. A ceremony will take place this Friday. Only 31 Americans have lain in state or in honor in the Capitol Rotunda since it was finished in 1824, not including unknown soldiers of World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. Visitors will be able to pay their respects from 2 to 8 p.m. The senator and former prisoner of war died of brain cancer Saturday evening. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer tweeted that he would introduce a resolution to rename the Russell Senate Office Building in Mr. McCain's memory. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut reacted on ABC Radio.
I am so deeply saddened. All of America should feel that we've lost a towering figure of patriotism and a warrior.
Mr. McCain, who twice ran for president, will also lie in state at the Arizona State Capitol this Wednesday, including a six-hour viewing after a private ceremony. He will be buried Sunday at the U.S. Naval Academy Cemetery next to his classmate, Admiral Chuck Larson. Further remembering Senator McCain from Matt Mikowiak, Republican consultant and host of a podcast called Mac on Politics. Matt, your take.
He could be gruff at times. You know, he had a kind of a volcanic temper. He's known for that. But if you just look at the relationship we have with his daughter, Megan, he clearly was a very special person to her. They had a very, very close friendship, and she wrote beautifully in a statement she put out after his death that she, you know, he helped her become, you know, really an adult in every way throughout their relationship over many, many decades. And so he had, you know, tremendous friendships, close bond, particularly with fellow veterans, especially people he'd known personally in the military, but really with any veteran. He had so many veterans across the country and really across the world who looked up to him for, you know, the way that he served the country in so many different ways for so long. He was a legendary figure, but as a person, you know, he was a little bit complicated, more so maybe than some of the tributes have said, but clearly a very decent, good and decent person, you know, a wonderful husband, a father, you know, to three children, a wonderful friend, wonderful and loyal friend. The other thing about him personally is that he had just a really tremendous sense of humor, and I think people that got to know him, his fellow senators, his friends, his family, got to see that, and I think a lot of average people maybe didn't get to see that, but he could be, you know, very, very, very funny, you know, really with kind of a Navy vet's sense of humor, but he really had a great sense of humor, and that's something that his close friends got to see up close.
We're speaking with Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant, Washington Times columnist. He also does a podcast called Mac on Politics, and we're remembering the late Senator John McCain. How about the relationship with President Trump? I know it was not good. What does that mean for the McCain legacy, if anything?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because, you know, the Trump presidency is not over. It's really in its early stages, probably. And so one of the things I think that certainly Democrats particularly respect about him is that he, you know, spoke truth to power, and he always said what he thought needed to be said, no matter who wouldn't like it. He obviously was on the, you know, the victim end of one of Trump's, you know, least impressive statements about, you know, not respecting people who've been captured. Mm-hmm. I would hope that anyone would respect someone who's been captured. No military person wants to be captured, clearly. And whether you're captured or not, to go through what John McCain went through personally, to not accept early release, to overcome the tremendous physical strain that the torture did to him, and then to be the kind of public servant he was after that.
Mm. What about politically now, going forward, his replacements? Has there been discussions of that?
Well, and keep in mind, this is consequential because, you know, every individual Senate vote matters. We saw that, as many people remember, with his decision to vote against the Senate's version of the Obamacare replacement bill, the repeal replace bill. He provided the margin that killed that on the Senate floor in the wee hours last year, something obviously that frustrated President Trump and many congressional Republicans. Conceivably, depending on who Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona appoints, if that person were in favor of, you know, an Obamacare replacement bill, that maybe they could bring it back up and pass it. That'll be one thing to watch. But Arizona law requires him to appoint a Republican. There's been some talk that his wife Cindy, who was a Reagan White House aide in her earlier her career, could be perhaps a temporary appointment.
Oh, wow.
There are a number of other possibilities too. A couple current or former members of Congress from Arizona, a couple statewide officials. It'll be an interesting choice because this governor, I'm sure, will have ideas about what he wants to do, but he also wants to honor, I'm sure, the legacy of Senator McCain with the McCain seat, and so that'll add a personal dynamic to the choice that's a little bit different. I imagine there's going to be some pressure on him to appoint Cindy if she wants to do it. Don't know whether she wants to. She comes from a wealthy family, if I remember correctly. I believe they have a beer distributorship.
Yeah.
And so you know, whether she wants to take on those kind of commitments and sacrifices at this point in her life, you know, is an open question.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant, also host of a podcast called Mac on Politics. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. At least 6 children and 2 adults have been killed after a fire broke out in a Chicago apartment without working smoke detectors. A teenager and another adult were taken to the hospital in very critical condition following the blaze in the small hours of yesterday morning. A Chicago firefighter was taken to the hospital as well, although he's listed in good condition. Here's Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Our men and women that are in the Chicago Fire Department, the finest in America, did heroic efforts to save lives.
Fire Commissioner Jose Santiago said one of the children killed was an infant.
We have 8 fatalities, of which 6 are children, 2 adults.
Chicago Fire Department spokesman Larry Merritt said those killed and the injured were from the same residence. The blaze broke out around 4 a.m. inside a 3-story apartment building in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood. Flames engulfed at least 2 buildings. The fire was put out just after 5 a.m. It is unclear what caused it. 19 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, another mass shooting in Florida. It happened during a video game tournament being held at Jacksonville Landing, a large shopping, entertainment, and dining complex. Three people are dead, a dozen injured after witnesses say one of the players lost and started shooting up the room.
It started from a dispute in the game. They had an argument over, I guess, a video game in there. And then from there, that's when, I guess, they say he went to the door and just started shooting people.
The shooter is identified as 24-year-old David Katz, a former tournament champion from Baltimore. Arizona GOP Governor Doug Ducey doesn't plan to announce his choice of successor to Senator John McCain until after McCain's burial Sunday. Under state law, the governor's appointee to serve until the next general election in 2020 must come from the same political party. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer wants to honor his late colleague where they worked together.
Nothing will replace his memory, but I will be introducing a resolution into the Senate to rename the Russell Building after John McCain.
The Senate office building was named for Georgia Democrat Richard Russell in 1972, who served for 40 years, but who often used his parliamentary skills to oppose civil rights legislation. Hundreds of mourners filled an Iowa gymnasium Sunday to celebrate the life of Molly Tibbetts. The crowd so large, dozens more were forced to sit in overflow seating outside and watch the service on video, where they heard Tibbetts' father urge them to turn toward the light. Tibbetts disappeared July 18th during a run. Her alleged killer led authorities to her body almost a week ago. News site Axios reports senior Trump administration officials spent the weekend holed up with their Mexican counterparts haggling over the final details of a new NAFTA deal. Sources are quoted as saying the negotiators are on the brink of a handshake deal. Canada will have to weigh in on any final plan. Police officers fatally shot a South Carolina woman after she pointed a gun with a laser targeting system at them. Cherokee County Coroner Dennis Fowler says Stephanie Owens called 911 from her Blacksburg home yesterday asking for help, but threatened to shoot arriving officers instead. While outrunning your predators may not be the key to evolution, a new large data study of fossil and living mollusks suggests laziness might be a productive strategy for survival of individuals and even species. Looking at a period of roughly 5 million years, researchers at the University of Kansas found higher metabolic rates were a reliable predictor of extinction. So instead of survival of the fittest, it's survival of the laziest.
I see. Yeah, I take my chances running, I think.
Sloths for the win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Serpentine. Run serpentine. Thanks, Rasa. 22 minutes after the hour on this morning. America's First News. This portion of the program is brought to you by Salon Pause Lidocaine Plus Pain Relievers. More workers are facing the same dilemma. How do you respond when your boss offers you a nice new title without a nice new raise to match? According to one survey, some 39% of employers often hand out promotions without a pay raise, up from 22% over the past few years. Many employees are left wondering whether to swallow their resentment and accept the news or push back for more money. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenbarger explains how to develop a smart response. Sue, first off, what are we seeing?
Well, we're seeing a lot more employers handing out promotions, better titles, without any pay raise. The numbers are up really significantly, several percentage points since the year 2011, according to an Office Team survey. And this poses some interesting challenges. Some workers are just fine with this, thank you very much, and put it on their LinkedIn profile. But it also raises issues for people who may not think it's fair to be doing a bigger job without getting more money for it.
Wow. Where did this come from? If it's since 2011, like, you know, the economy's been like on the upswing since then. How can employers get away with this?
We have this really perplexing stagnancy in pay. Employers have been very slow to raise pay across the board since the recession, and they're holding costs down. It's amazing, actually, that they've gotten away with it for this long, and they want to reward workers, and they're very strategically taking note of how important it is to have a good image on LinkedIn and to be able to tout a good title or to say, even for the millennials, to be able to say to friends and parents, hey, I got a promotion. I'm doing really well. So there really are some even handing out what they call micro promotions, little incremental increases in title status in order to reward them without any extra money.
Wow, I've never even heard of such a thing. What's an example of a micro promotion?
It would be from, say, from recruiting assistant to recruiter. is something just really small, and it might not even make that much difference in the worker's actual workload in those cases, in those micro-promotions. In other cases, though, I found examples where there really were big increases in the workers' responsibilities. I mean, one guy was doing two jobs for several months and didn't get a pay raise, and the second time his employer asked him to do that, he quit.
Wow.
So it isn't a fail-safe remedy for employers.
Jeez. We're speaking with Sue Schellenberger, columnist at The Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled "The Promotion That Comes Without the Pay Raise." All right, so not everybody would be on board with this, obviously. What can you do if you need to push back or feel really it's incorrect the way it's going down?
It's important to do your homework about how pay changes are made at your company. And one executive I spoke to said he had been very surprised to open a letter congratulating him on his promotion with no raise. As it turned out, he was doing well, but the boss couldn't hand him out a raise because his division was doing poorly. In other cases, you might be at the top of the pay range for workers in both your old and new title, and so you can't move any higher until you get yet another promotion. And it could be that the boss, you know, really laid it on the line, and all that your boss could do was to get a better title. Sometimes budgets are very tight, or raises are only handed out at one time of the year. So it's important not to fly off the handle until you know what lay behind the decisions, and really to ask your boss with genuine curiosity, what's going on here? Can you help me understand your thinking?
Thanks, Sue. Wall Street Journal columnist Sue Schellenberger. She writes the Work and Family column. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Summer's ending and savings are back in business with Dell's Labor Day sale. Small businesses can save up to 40% on select PCs with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything, including thousands of top brand electronics and accessories. Give our specially trained small business technology advisors a call. They can help you find the right tech to fit your business with Labor Day savings. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call us at 877 by Dell. That's 877 by Dell.
Catch America's First News online anytime at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, August 27. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: three dead, including the gunman at a video game competition in Florida. McCain will lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda. Playwright Neil Simon has died at the age of 91. U.S. and Mexico could reach a NAFTA agreement today. The head of ISIS in Afghanistan has been killed by a coalition airstrike. U.S. Open tennis begins today with Serena seeking her seventh title. Hawaii won the Little League World Series. And the company offering paid leave for new pet owners. That story in about 20 minutes. The town hall is soon to be on the endangered species list. Long gone are the angry mobs of voters pushing and shoving one another, hissing and shouting down lawmakers that defined Congress's summer of hell back in 2009. What happened to them? Here's Daniel Lipman, reporter at Politico and co-author of Politico Playbook. Daniel, what's up here?
You know, it used to be that congressmen would go on vacation, or their what they call recess, in August and talk to their constituents really hold these types of town hall meetings, get the people to tell them what's on their mind. But now what we understand and what we've reported is that there are very few congressmen who are actually doing these town halls anymore. And so it's kind of been a big drop-off in these types of events. And the ones that are remaining sometimes are turned into teletown halls where you can control what type of questions you get.
Mm. These guys and gals a bunch of wimps, unwilling to face the heat, or is there another reason?
I think, there is no one issue that's dominating these types of events that are held, but they do want to avoid these gotcha moments that can turn into a huge problem for them on social media when they lash out at their constituent. And so you've seen a nearly 70% decrease in in-person events. This recess, members have scheduled only 180 events.
Wow.
And that there are 435 congressmen. And so that means the average congressman is holding half an event.
That I'd be curious if there's a further breakdown, like the ones who are holding it, are they locks to win in November? And might the ones who are not holding them now do them first of the year when they're still two more years away from the next election?
That may be true for some senators because they operate on different time calendars for their elections since they're every 6 years. But for congressmen, they're up every 2 years. The ones that are remaining of the 180 events, five lawmakers, Representatives Roger Marshall from Kansas, Bradley Byrne from Alabama, Peter DeFazio from Oregon, Frank Lucas from Oklahoma, and Rodney Davis from Illinois, they account for 30%. So they're kind of, you know, doing the lion's share of these types of things in terms of their colleagues. And they're all expected to win, mostly. I think that's a reflection of if you're in a safe district, you don't fear your constituent.
We're speaking with Daniel Lipman from Politico, reporter and co-author of Politico Playbook, talking about lawmakers ditching town halls. What can voters do here if they want town halls?
Well, they should write their congressman. That's the answer that a lot of people give. And it's true. You should urge your member, whenever you see them in person or at the grocery store, if congressmen go to grocery stores, to speak, you know, to continue to hold these events because they're important. Republicans don't want to be hassled, and Democrats as well, by the other party, but we still live in a democracy, and it's important for members to hear from all different sides and not just get, you know, sycophants who say, oh, you're doing a great job, we're going to elect you and your other members of your party. Look at the White House. This is what happens when you have a lot of people who don't say no to the president, that you get bad policies, sometimes trade wars, because everyone's afraid of losing their jobs.
I wonder what the strategy is. Like, if you're trailing by, say, 5 or 7 points, do you then host a town hall to try to, I mean, do you roll the dice with the risk of bad press?
It's hard to tell because, you know, it could go one of two ways. If you hold a town hall, you could get hurt. But if your aim as a congressman is often to let your constituents know that you're working hard for them, and so if you do hold these sort of events, then you can actually change their minds, ensure that if there's a lot of congressmen who try to visit their towns in their district all their towns every year. And that's important for getting them to vote for you next time. So it's ultimately a self-defeating strategy.
Anybody who's completely run away from town halls altogether?
If you look at the list, Dave Bratt, congressman from Virginia, rural Virginia, who replaced Eric Cantor in that upset several years ago when Cantor was majority leader, he's holding none of these events. And he was the guy that complained that Cantor wasn't engaged in his district enough. So it's ironic that he is shying away from holding any of these types of events.
Daniel Lipman, reporter at Politico, co-author of Politico Playbook. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, Beyond the Headlines. Now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's not often that an opposing quarterback gets a standing ovation before taking on the home team in an NFL game, but that's exactly what happened yesterday afternoon to Andy Dalton of the Cincinnati Bengals. In a follow-up to a story we told you about just after the new year, Buffalo Bills fans took a shine to Dalton after he threw a 49-yard touchdown pass with a minute to go against the Baltimore Ravens in the final game of last season. That TD killed the Ravens' playoff hopes and sent the Bills to the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. Bills fans were so happy, in fact, that they donated more than $100,000 to the Andy and Jordan Dalton Foundation to show their love. And they capped off their appreciation by giving Dalton a hero's welcome yesterday, before he threw two touchdowns to lead the Bengals over the Bills in the third preseason game.
That's funny.
Something tells me that if it happened during a regular season game, they might not have been so affable. But
yeah.
You know, and they might certainly not after the game, they wouldn't have loved him nearly as much.
Bills fans know their football.
Yes.
So not surprising to see them show Andy Dalton their love.
Yes.
And Bills fans also, at least according to YouTube reports, really know how to tailgate.
That is true.
Yeah.
Don't know if that added to the extra love that they showered him, or I don't know if that added to the feelings, maybe feeling a little warmer towards him because of that. We don't know that for sure.
Right. Okay.
And talk about driving a lemon, Gordon. Authorities say a man has been arrested in Southern California after deputies found about 800 pounds of stolen lemons inside his car. Riverside County Sheriff's officials say the 69-year-old man was arrested Friday and booked on a charge of theft of agricultural products. Deputies were investigating recent farm thefts when they stopped the man's car Friday morning, leading to the sour discovery. Inside his car, deputies say they found about a dozen large bags of freshly picked lemons they say were stolen from a nearby farm. The alleged lemon thief was booked into the Indio jail and was released after posting $10,000 bail. We still didn't find out why exactly he needed 800 pounds of lemons.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you know, it is still very warm this time of year. A lemonade stand, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Starting a, you know, sort of a monster mass lemonade company of some kind. I don't know.
Perhaps he had previously stolen tequila.
Yeah.
And had salt with him. And he was getting together to do some shots.
These are all potential things, potential good reasons, I'm sure, that he will tell his lawyer as to why he did this.
Did you do that, by the way? You put like the salt on your on the webbing between your index finger and thumb? Like that was a college thing, right?
I may have done that once. I mean, literally one time.
He goes, eat the salt, take the shot, bite the lemon.
Something
that thing,
like that. Yeah. I think I did that once and just once. Never had to do it again.
The just my question is, did he pick all those lemons or did he steal like full bags at a time?
Yeah, I saw the bags. It looked like they were done by
prepackaged
of some kind.
So it wasn't like he was wandering through a lemon forest and going, this one looks good.
Yes.
This one looks good, because that might take several hours.
Yeah, it does not appear so. It appears this was a quick getaway.
Fair enough. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username @GordonDeal. Disappointing news about aspirin. You've heard that taking low-dose aspirin every day can cut the chances of another heart attack or stroke or other heart problem in people who already have had one. But new findings indicate the risks don't outweigh the benefits for other people. One study found that aspirin did not help prevent first strokes or heart attacks in people at moderate risk for one, because they had several health threats such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol. Another tested aspirin in people with diabetes who are more likely to develop or die from heart problems and found that the modest benefit it gave was offset by a greater risk of serious bleeding. Aspirin did not help prevent cancer, as had been hoped, and fish oil supplements, also tested in the study of people with diabetes, failed to help. Although it's been around a long time, aspirin's value in many situations is still unclear. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, two are dead in gunfire at a Jacksonville, Florida restaurant hosting the Madden NFL Championship Series, which draws video competitors from around the world. Local Councilman Reginald Gaffney tells ABC all levels of government must address gun violence.
We do about guns, and America right now don't want to take that issue on. But we got a gun problem in America right now, and you can see it goes to city to city.
24-year-old gamer David Katz of Baltimore suspected of spraying the venue with gunfire before turning the gun on himself after he lost his round. As Pope Francis wraps up his historic two-day visit to Ireland, former Vatican envoy to the U.S., Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, is calling on him to quit over his response to the global scandal still enveloping the Catholic Church. Francis used a speech at a mass in Dublin Sunday to ask forgiveness for abuses committed by members with roles of responsibility, which allegedly includes American Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. In a letter posted on conservative Catholic websites, Vigano claims Pope Benedict and Pope Francis knew about the abuse allegations against McCarrick for years. 8 people dead, 2 hospitalized, clinging to life, all from the same family, 6 of them children, the youngest just 3 months old. An early morning fire in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood Sunday broke out during a cousin's sleepover. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
There's a horrific loss of life. We haven't seen this in a long time in the city of Chicago.
There were no working smoke detectors in the apartment. New York GOP Congressman Peter King, one of many peers, praising the maverick spirit of Arizona Senator John McCain, who died Saturday at age 81.
He didn't look at polls. He didn't have people who were going to shape his image. In fact, he drove his campaign staff crazy because they never knew what he was going to say and that he would give honest answers.
The U.S. Embassy in Hanoi plans to launch a fellowship to support a young Vietnamese leader committed to public service to travel to the U.S. annually on a study tour in McCain's memory. The world's first crowdfunded craft beer hotel opens today in Columbus, Ohio. The Doghouse Hotel is operated by Scottish beer company BrewDog. Upon entering, guests are greeted with complimentary beers as they check in. And in their rooms, they'll find a wet bar, taps, and mini fridges stocked with beer. In the showers.
Okay.
Suds with suds.
Yeah. I was just thinking this as you were reading the story. I did the trifecta this weekend in terms of booze. Like I had beer Saturday, wine Saturday night, and I went with vodka yesterday for some reason. So
it's iced tea all week long.
Yeah, and water. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps aspirin.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A Minnesota digital marketing company is making it less stressful for employees who get new pets. The company, Nina Hale, located in Minneapolis, is offering what it calls a fraternity leave policy. It allows employees to work from home for 1 week when they get a new dog or cat. Two workers inspired the new policy after asking if they could stay home and work so they could be with their new pets. The business magazine, Inc., by the way, says the benefit applies to any pet that needs hands-on training or attention, so goldfish and hamster owners need not apply. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.